If we start to see any weakening of the stance on the ECJ, the European Court of Justice, how big a signal is that?
It's a really good signal, and you can use that as a kind of benchmark for how well the Brexit talks are going from the UK's point of view. The kind of analysis increasingly is that maybe we'll move out of the ECJ, but then we'll accept some oversight in some places, or perhaps, as with the case of citizens' rights, we'll be willing to do some kind of deal to create a new body that will oversee or have some say in British law.
Amazon, they're showcasing this Prime Air thing on this Prime Big Shopping Day. They've got 22 of these planes in the air, these 767s. That are operated through partnerships, and it's really interesting to sort of imagine what they're doing here in terms of changing the logistics operations, running certain flights that they can't get from the likes of FedEx, UPS, DHL, and the others.
Donald Trump Jr. confirming Monday he's hired a criminal defense attorney to represent him as more Democrats and Republicans voice concerns about his meeting with a Kremlin-linked lawyer during the U.S. presidential election. New York attorney Alan Futerfas retained by the U.S. president's oldest child. The New York Times reporting that Trump Jr. met with a Russian lawyer who promised him damaging information about Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. The first indication that someone in the president's inner circle was open to receiving help from Moscow during the election.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It is July 11th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here for our Tuesday edition. Lots to go over this morning. A little bit later in the program, we'll talk a little bit about how you can be a better communicator, both at work and away. The author of Influence Redefined will be with us. And in just a second, we'll bring in our first guest from the Citizens Utility Board in Illinois, talking about the future of landlines in the state. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures are weak to negative in the U.S., pointing toward what could be a lower opening on Wall Street. Dow futures off about 5 points. NASDAQ futures off 5. S&P futures are off about a point and a half this morning. Asian shares are generally higher today ahead of Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen's testimony to Congress later in the week. Tomorrow and Thursday, Japan's Nikkei gained about 0.5% on expectations the yen will weaken further against the dollar as the central bank strives to keep long-term bond yields low. In Asia this morning, markets starting to recover a little bit, or tried to recover a little bit. The Hang Seng up about 1.5%, 377 points. The Nikkei was up 114, and the Asian Dow up as well. In Europe this morning, markets are mixed. In London, the FTSE is off by about 1%. The DAX in Germany is up by about 1/3. And in France, the market is off just a fraction. Gold and silver this morning are trading lower, and crude oil is trading lower as well by about 0.5%, 44.17 a barrel, down about 23 cents. Here's some stories that we're watching for you. It looks like Congress will try to do health care. Republican leaders want to stage a vote on their health care bill possibly next week, but internal rifts over issues like coverage requirements and Medicaid cuts leave the timing and even the measure's fate unclear. Some Republicans said yesterday that a revised version of their bill erasing much of President Obama's health care law, would be introduced Thursday. Number two, Senate GOP leader John Cornyn of Texas said the goal was a vote next week. Cornyn cited 7 years of unresolved Republican debate over how to replace the 2010 statute that underscored a sense among some top Republicans they had little to gain by letting their disputes drag on much further. Consensus on a replacement seemed more remote than ever as senators return from a July 4th recess. There are at least 10 lawmakers right now who say they will vote against that health care, the repeal and replace bill that has been currently swirling around Congress. Randy Quarles will serve as a top post in the Federal Reserve on the board in charge of overseeing the banking system. He was nominated by the Trump administration yesterday. He served in top Treasury Department posts under two Republican presidents. The selection announced yesterday marks President Trump's first effort to reshape the nation's central bank, an institution he criticized during the campaign. Well, before they left town for the year, or at least the spring and summer, lawmakers in Illinois passed a bill that could impact the future of landlines in Illinois. Landline legislation would allow AT&T to start doing away with landlines across the state, even though the company says that's not going to happen right away. Lots of people are concerned about this, and we thought we would invite in the Citizens Utility Board today to talk about this. And Jim Chilson is with us this morning. He's the Director of Communication at CUB. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being on with us. Tell us about this bill, this law. What will it enable AT&T to do?
Yeah, what the bill did is it allowed AT&T was under a legal requirement to offer traditional landline phone service. We're talking about copper landlines, and this does away with that requirement. Now, as you said in the good introduction, is that AT&T has since said that, well, it's going to be a few years. This transition could take a few years. And, the one question that I had when I heard that was, if it's really going to take a few years to make this transition, it begs the question, why did AT&T have to pass this legislation now? You know, during the entire the debate over the last 6 months, the company was saying, we're falling behind in modernizing our network. We absolutely have to. Taking care of landline customers is sapping too many resources. We need to get rid of this requirement so that we can modernize our network. And now the legislation has passed, and suddenly now AT&T says that, you know, this transition could take a few years. And we're glad that the company is saying that, because we think it acknowledges what we've been saying for a long time, is that at this time, for a significant number of customers, the company can't offer a reliable alternative to traditional landline phone service. It's really necessary that this transition take years.
The other part of this, too, as you mentioned, why now? A part of what happened with all of this happening is really they're scared a lot of customers in Illinois. There are about a million landlines. I have a family that live out in the boondocks, and they're all very concerned about this to the point where they're nervous about it.
I tell you, Steve, the calls we have gotten from people, I mean, we fully acknowledge that most people are choosing smartphones. Most people are choosing, you know, internet telephony. We get that, but there still are a significant number of people who really depend on landlines as their most reliable link to medical monitoring services, to 911, you know, to home security systems. And you pointed out, you know, people in rural areas. Now, I want to make clear that this is just dealing with AT&T territory right now. It doesn't touch Frontier is the other major local phone company in the state. It doesn't touch Frontier. Right now, this is dealing with AT&T. And, you know, the one big problem, we had two big problems with this, is it pushes Illinois out of the discussion of what kind of telecom future we want to have. If we had those consumer protections, if we had this law that said AT&T, you have to offer landline service, that gave us a spot at the table to talk about what kind of telecom future, you know, can we have. We're pushed out of that conversation. It's really AT&T making the timetable. But secondly, not one sentence in this bill requires AT&T to modernize its network. And that was another big problem, is that, you know, there are a lot of big discussions we need to have about our future. You know, how about, you know, broadband speed, broadband access, things like that. You know, this goes beyond just landlines. This discussion should go beyond landlines. And this is a reason why, you know, smartphone users should be interested in this discussion, too. But I also need to add is AT&T can't end landline service until they get the okay from the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. So, you know, we're not giving up. We're going to fight before the FCC on this issue. And actually, today on our website at citizensutilityboard.org, you can go to our website and click a button, and you can send a message to Congress if you feel strongly about this issue.
Jim, hang on with us because we're going to get into some more of the details about this
sure.
and the direction. Jim Chilson is with us, the Director of Communication at the Citizens Utility Board here in Illinois. We're going to be talking more about this bill of allowing AT&T to end landline service.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Gains in tech stocks were mostly washed out by losses elsewhere on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended nearly 6 points lower at 21,408, but the S&P 500 finished 2.25 points higher. The NASDAQ advanced 23. Consumer borrowing rose by $18.5 billion in May, marking the biggest gain since last November. Economists think consumers will grow more confident about taking on debt amid a strong labor market and a bullish stock market. Wells Fargo will pay out $142 million over its sales practices scandal. A federal judge has approved the deal to settle claims related to fraudulent accounts going back to 2002, opened by Wells Fargo staff without customer permission. And Chick-fil-A is celebrating its 13th annual Cow Appreciation Day by giving away free food. Adults will get a free entree. Kids will get a full meal at the fast food restaurant. Strings attached, you must wear a cow costume. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. The Director of Communication at Citizens Utility Board is with us today, Jim Chilson. We're talking about the law that passed the General Assembly allowing AT&T to eventually get rid of landlines here in Illinois. The fight, Jim, as we were talking about, now moves on to the FCC. They'll have the final say, I guess, in this. But let me ask you about this, because you brought it up earlier. The people who are concerned about this may have medical conditions and rely on landlines as a reliable link. What's the technology part of this that we're missing here that might put that reliability in jeopardy?
Well, a landline, I've been saying this for a long time, a traditional landline doesn't need to be charged. It doesn't go out in a power outage or an internet outage, and it doesn't leave 911 dispatchers guessing. There are a few advantages to landlines still, even with all this wonderful technology, and it is wonderful technology. We have great respect for it. But a landline, number one, with 911, you can, you know, somebody can call 911 on a landline and on a traditional landline, and they'll be able to trace the call without you even having to give your address. They don't have that technology with cell phones yet. They're working toward that. There's something called Advanced 911, where they would be able to trace the call, the exact location of a call. The state said during this debate that it's not going to have full deployment of Advanced 911 across the state until 2020 at the earliest. 2020 was aspirational. This is at the earliest. So, you know, our point is, you know, before we make this transition, let's make sure we have, you know, a viable alternative. Now, AT&T has often said, like, for medical monitoring services, you know, First Alert and things like that, that, well, there's an app for that. And that it is true. There are a lot of apps for these. There's, you know, apps for security systems, things like that. But they can be glitchy. They're not as reliable as, you know, just plain old telephone service. And we're talking about for, you know, Illinois' most vulnerable phone customers. Like you said, people in rural areas who have terrible cell phone service, seniors who just want a reliable connection to 911, people with medical monitoring services. There was a beautiful woman, Carol, who spoke at a news conference for us, who has, a pacemaker defibrillator that connects directly to her landline, so it'll automatically alert, you know, the hospital if there is some problem. It can, you know, transmit readings to the hospital. All of those things are at their most reliable when they're connected to a landline, and that's that is our big concern. Is that, you know, there still are a significant number of people. You mentioned it's about, AT&T has said in testimony, it's about 1.2 million business and residential landline customers in its AT&T territory.
What kind of money are we talking about here, Jim? Often when we do these stories, it's follow the money, and you can find out how much, not only is this going to cost, but how much this could possibly save AT&T. I'm guessing there's a lot of money involved here.
Yeah, AT&T has said that, you know, it saps its resources, and it's given out numbers about how much it's spending on the copper network. And there's a couple problems that we have with that statement. Is first of all, the company has made $58 billion over the last 5 years. It's doing very well under the current consumer protections, which were, you know, to provide landline service for these customers who need it. Secondly, AT&T makes it sound like this copper network is such a burden. Those people pay bills. I mean, those people, you know, and often these we're talking about the company's most loyal customers. For years, decades, they've been paying their bills on time because they love that landline service. You know, they're making money off this also. They always talk about how much it costs, but they're also making money because these people pay their bills. And thirdly, that copper network isn't going anywhere. It's not like AT&T, once you know it gets this okay, is going to rip up all that copper network. Is even for its new internet telephony service, which has traditionally been called U-verse. I mean, it's not called U-verse anymore, but for years it was called U-verse. That internet telephone service for the last mile of the call still uses the copper network. My in-laws are in Wisconsin. They're AT&T customers. They're U-verse customers. And the last mile of those calls that come to them is over the old copper network. So, you know, this isn't the copper network's not going anywhere. The copper network is still very valuable to the company. You don't hear AT&T talking like Verizon a few years ago sold its Illinois landlines to Frontier. You don't hear AT&T talking about that. At least I haven't during this debate. That network is still very valuable.
Jim, again, people can go to citizensutilityboard.org to get more about this. There's also that button that you mentioned there. What else can people do in the interim?
Well, I think that, you know, if they want to, you know, talk with their legislators about, you know, their reasoning behind, you know, the voting for this bill, I think just keeping the discussion going. But right now, the main battleground is going to be in Washington. So I think, you know, going to citizensutilityboard.org and sending a message to Illinois' congressional delegation is a good start.
All right. Jim Chilson with the Citizens Utility Board, Director of Communications there. Thanks for being with us this morning on The Opening Bell.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And again, it's citizensutilityboard.org.
From ABC News Tech Trends, Tesla technology goes down under.
We're announcing the world's largest lithium-ion battery.
The announcement came from the Southern Australia state premier. After years of suffering from weather-related blackouts, the state has chosen Tesla to build the world's largest lithium-ion battery.
This is a 100-megawatt battery installation, the next biggest battery system in the world is 30 megawatts.
Tesla CEO Elon Musk says the system, hooked up to a wind farm, will provide enough energy to power 300,000 homes.
The system will be three times more powerful than any system on Earth.
This giant battery will store solar energy during off-peak hours, discharging it during peak hours and during times of severe weather.
Just as you can power a big satellite purely with solar and a battery, you can power Earth purely with solar and a battery. Earth is a giant satellite.
And Musk says if the project isn't completed within 100 days, it's free. With Tech Trends, I'm Mona Rivera, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 540. Glad you're here for our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Most bosses in companies probably think they're more influential than they actually are. And our next guest has a lot to say about that. Many leaders, she says, are sabotaging their influence and they don't even know it. Stacey Honke is the author of Influence Redefined. She's also an executive mentor and communication skills coach with us this morning. Good morning, Stacey. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, this is an interesting topic. And when I saw the percentage of people in companies, leaders who are sort of confused about their influence level, this was surprising, 95%.
And usually it definitely grabs people's attention, right? And here's what's going on. I think why that number is so high, I find that as leaders climb the corporate ladder, you may have heard the saying before, it gets a little lonely on the top. People don't want to tell that the emperor's not wearing clothes. And as people climb that ladder, suddenly feedback becomes flawed. I'm sure our listeners can relate to this. If you've ever asked, how did I do? What did you think? And frequently that common response is, good, nice job. And we walk around life saying, well, everyone thinks I'm good. But what influence really is taking a closer look, Steve, at how do your listeners experience you, whether you're on the phone, whether you're doing a social media post, whether you're in a boardroom meeting. A lot of times what I'm finding is if leaders are not getting effective, meaningful feedback, if they're not constantly experiencing themselves through the eyes and ears of their listeners, there's a strong chance they're basing how they come across, how others are perceiving them, based on how they feel rather than what fact is.
Well, you've a couple of things there. First, you know, it's concerning because without asking or without getting an honest answer from the people you're asking, if that's the way you do it, what are the best ways to judge and gauge this?
You bet. So if we're focusing right now, Steve, on feedback, I call it prepared feedback. Say, for example, right before you and I got on this interview this morning, I'd ask you, hey, here's what I want feedback on. Fill in the blank. Would you listen for that? Would you observe that? And then afterwards, give me that feedback. You also have to make sure that it is someone that's truly going to tell you the truth. And that usually might be a peer. It might be a friend, perhaps even a family member. So that's just key number one. I think we don't know what feedback is, how to ask it, and how to receive it. Then secondly, we are living in an age of such high technology, smartphones, something simple as a smartphone. We've got the opportunity. We should be audio recording ourselves. We should be video recording ourselves. Because without that, Steve, I don't know how you can ever determine your level of influence and how you come across. And I probably should take one step back because in my book, Influence Redefined, per the title, the first step is making sure that our listeners know what influence is and what it's not. And the old definition of influence is moving people to action, which that's true, but I think there's a pieces that are missing there. Influence really is that your body language, your messaging, it is consistent, it's congruent Monday to Monday, and that you've got this ability to move people to action long after the interaction occurs. All those three, feedback, seeing yourself through your listeners' eyes and ears, and making sure influence, you understand what it is and what it's not, to me, those are truly the core of making sure that you don't fall in that 95% of being clueless or unaware of what's really going on.
You know, and the part of this too, athletes and even us in the media, we routinely listen and watch ourselves on video, and we go back over broadcasts to see where we've done well and not. And oftentimes we see things that sort of goes to the next point. We either have a communication habit that, for instance, I like to say a lot, which I'm working on. There are all kinds of things that we hear and see that we judge ourselves and are able to move forward on.
See, Steve, you totally get it. And I use sports analogies a lot. I'm thinking U.S. Open because that was something recent, right? Kind of recent that I saw. I was telling one of my clients, I go, you can't imagine a professional athlete like that golfer suddenly gets new skills, new concepts, and then they apply it at the U.S. Open. Now, I think in the corporate world, it's a little different. Every day for us is game day. But this concept of, and I'm so intrigued with the concept of your name is on everything you do. People are constantly creating reputations of yourself. Why don't we put that same emphasis like your industry does and an athlete does, even actors and actresses, of saying, gosh, how I show up every day really determines how much money goes in my pocket, the relationships that I create, and what are people saying behind my back? And I truly believe the only way you can do that, you've got to take a look. And it's something you should be doing on a regular basis.
Part of this, too, is having a workforce and having a team that respects you and that you treat well, because I'm guessing if that's not in place, you're never going to get honest feedback.
That's exactly right. And the variety of industries and leaders that I've worked with, there's something about it, Steve, and you might even feel this with just people that you interview. You can tell. It doesn't take long when I walk into a corporation and I can tell what kind of leadership is there. And it's exactly what you're saying. It's the dynamic of the group that you can tell. From the top down, they're getting an honest conversation, a relationship. And sometimes it comes down to open communication. It's having a leader exactly express what do they want out of their employees? How do I want you to give me feedback? And then you've got the other leaders, and you're going to appreciate this. I just had a call with a potential client this week, and I was explaining to them how we would work with them, and feedback is a big part of it. There's a long pause on the other end of the phone. And then this VP of HR responded, you want to be careful with that. And I said, what do you mean, careful with feedback with your leaders? And she said, you know, our culture is our leaders work hard. They reach this point because they worked hard. And they don't feel that they need that further development. So it's sometimes I wonder if it's a culture or if it's part of that mindset.
Yeah, and that would seem like a really dangerous mindset to be in. So, Stacey, we talked about some of the tools. What are some of the other ways that people can maybe see things about the influence that they don't have that they think they have? What are some of the more signs?
I think in addition to that video playback, like that's just going to be number one. And part of the book, I have an influence model that has three drivers around it. We've already talked about in feedback. The other side, I want our listeners to imagine a triangle. So the feedback is on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side of that triangle is practice. But it has to be deliberate, Steve. I think so many times, think about your day-to-day. How many emails are you just going to shoot off, calls you're going to have? And when we sprint through life, we're not focusing on what do I really need to be thinking about during this conversation? Besides my message, what else do I really want to focus on? And then the bottom of that triangle, Steve, this one to me is a make or break. It's accountability. I know for myself, I cannot be constantly practicing my influence, my communication skills without coaches, without accountability partners in my life. To just give you that friendly reminder, perhaps you're in a conversation today or you're sitting around a board meeting, and again, you prepare for the feedback, or maybe I guess it would be more legit your one-on-one, and you have an individual say to you, I'm going to use your example, Steve, I tend to slip in the word off. I'm trying to break that. Would you bring that to my attention for the next 2 minutes that we're having this conversation? It's really about interactive feedback. And it goes back to what you said, Steve. You've got to have someone that a team or even someone that you can trust is truly just going to tell you how it is. But for any of our leaders listening right now, that to me would increase your credibility. That when I say to my team, hey, not only am I giving you feedback, but fair is fair here. I need the feedback, too, because I want the best of me to show up every day.
Stacey, how can we find out more about what you do and maybe get some more tips about this?
Thank you. We have lots of complimentary resources on our website. So it's Stacey with an E-Y, H-A-N-K-E-I-N-C.com.
And you can also follow Stacey on Twitter with the same handle, just at on Twitter. Stacey, good of you to be with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
Thank you so much, Steve. Take care.
All right, have a great day. Stacey Honke is the author of Influence Redefined, also an executive mentor and communication skills coach. The website again, StaceyHonkeInc.com, and again on Twitter at StaceyHonkeInc.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 5:53, and on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, we still see a lot of red arrows this morning as we head toward the opening on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures off about 5 points, NASDAQ and S&P futures off about 3 and 1 point individually, crude oil lower. Everything's pretty much lower in the U.S. this morning. We will follow, obviously, your money throughout the morning and on the Steve Cochran Show coming up next. Let's check agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at yesterday's opening trade for this week, weather continues to be a factor at the Board of Trade. Corn and wheat futures up more than 2%. Corn setting a one-year high on continued worry about forecasts for potentially stressful heat during the pollinating season for corn here in the Midwest. Wheat futures climbed nearly 3%, led by outlooks for more hot and dry weather in the Northern Plains spring wheat region. So, at the end of the day, July soybeans up 24 and a quarter cents. July corn up 9 3/4 cents. July wheat up 15 and 3/4 cents. Interesting to note that it's not just U.S. wheat farmers benefiting from weather concerns, but the market here is helping wheat markets around the world, particularly in the European Union. And in Russia, wheat prices moving higher because of the challenges that we have here. Livestock futures, mostly a red screen yesterday. August lean hogs down $1.15. The August live cattle contract down $1.07. August feeder cattle down 52 cents a hundredweight. Now, let's look at the weekly crop conditions report with numbers coming in even below expectations. Spring wheat, 35% good to excellent, down 2 percentage points from a week ago. Corn, 65% good to excellent, down 3 percentage points. And soybeans at 62% good to excellent, down 2 percentage points from a week ago. And that's your money. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, July 11th. The Labor Department will release job openings and labor turnover information for May. PepsiCo will report quarterly financial results before the market opens. It's Amazon Prime Day, and the International Energy Agency publishes the annual World Energy Investment Report. Also today, Senators Klobuchar and Durbin will hold a news conference on the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. A number of states obviously fighting some of the efforts by the Trump administration to gain voter data from each of those states. Illinois' Durbin and Klobuchar are holding that news conference. The Senate Intelligence Committee holds a closed session meeting, and the two remaining candidate cities to host the 2024 Summer Olympic Games in Los Angeles and Paris are to hold a briefing for the members of the International Olympic Committee and International Federations in Lausanne, Switzerland. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, July 11th.